Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, it is Steve Arterburn here, getting in gear and welcoming you to New Life Live. Hi, Dr. Dave Stoop, and hi, Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
What are you beautiful people looking forward to the most about this summer? Anything in your life that's going on?
Just summer.
Summer.
I mean, that sounds strange to say in California because it feels like, you know, summer is 9 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's been a cool spring, so.
Yeah.
Summer and
I don't have any plans to do.
Well,
anything.
I'm sending my daughter off to college, so
I was just thinking,
looking forward to the last few months with
her.
Well,
she's going to be in the season. She's going to go back there in the winter. And,
yeah.
Oh,
she's,
my word.
Mm-hmm. She's going,
Ohio.
She's going far away.
Well, I'll tell you, I hope and pray that everybody is going to have a great summer. And usually, you know, you lower your expectations and increase your budget. and just be ready for whatever comes your way. And I hope and pray that you will have a great summer. Don't forget about us this summer, please, because that's usually when we get in all sorts of financial difficulty, when people go on vacation and they forget about us. We need you to help us, so put us right there on your calendar. Help New Life this summer. Let's go to Denise from Ventura, California. KKLA is the station. Hello, Denise. How can we help?
Hi.
Hi.
My question is, my older son, I have older children from a prior marriage, and my older son has a very seductive girlfriend.
How old is he? How old is he?
He's 31, and the girlfriend's 28.
Okay.
And when we go to the family gathering, she's very seductive. And in the past, when I spoke to my husband about it, because there was at one point when she just kept looking at my husband, but he was returning the looks. Mm. And at that point in time, when I told him there was a problem, he kind of shut down for a few days. And anyway, we worked through that, and he makes a point of sitting in a different area and that kind of thing. But on Mother's Day, we had another family gathering, and he had a kitten in his lap, right? The kitten's very small, 4 weeks, mm-hmm. and fell asleep in his private area. Mm-hmm. And she came up behind him and was petting the kitten. And when we left, I said, you know, after we got home, after the whole evening was done, I said, I want to talk to you, but I want you to not shut down on me, because whenever I talk to you, you shut down. If I hold it in, I feel bitter. So when I spoke to him and I said, do you think this is wrong? And he said, yes. And I said, okay, what do you think you should have done? And he yelled at me, jumped up and said, well, it's not like I was hanging it out saying, here, pet the kitten, baby. And so I got mad, and I said, maybe we shouldn't be married. And so I know I shouldn't have said that. And I stormed out. So my question is, and he said, well, you should have done something. And I said, no, you should have done something. And so my question is, that happened before I said maybe we shouldn't be married, because mm-hmm. he said he didn't want to go to our family gatherings anymore because right. he wasn't used to being around ungodly yeah. people.
So your question is? And your question would be what?
Well,
hold on. We'll get it after this.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical or doesn't make sense or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer June 19th through the 21st in Dallas, Texas. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and we are talking with Denise, and Denise's son has a girlfriend who is seductive, and she doesn't feel like her husband responded appropriately when that seductive nature entered into the last gathering there, and even went to the extreme to say, well, just maybe we shouldn't be married based on his anger toward her for accusing him of not doing the right thing. So, Jill, Dave, what do you guys think? I mean, this woman is a problem.
Well, I feel sorry for the guy.
I think it is a very uncomfortable situation, and I think, Denise, you're looking for your husband to handle it, and certainly there's actions he could do, but this sounds like something that perhaps the two of you need to talk to your son about. I mean, I'm curious about this woman and what's her history. You know, maybe at first inquire with your son just more about her. And you've got that intuition, you know, and you're speaking up, and that's a good thing. But it's almost like you're wanting your husband to make it stop. And yet your son is dating this woman who's out being very seductive with older men, and inappropriately so.
Well, and I don't think there's much that your husband could have done in either one of those situations, because it's, you know, it's your son's girlfriend. But Jill's exactly right, Denise. You've got to talk to your son, and you need to do it together. But you're blaming your husband for something he didn't do. This is something that woman is doing.
She's seeking him out.
And he's kind of powerless in that deal, because what do you do when it's your son's girlfriend? You don't just tell her to get out of your life or get out. You're not allowed to come to the meetings anymore. But I would talk to my son and say, you know, we're really uncomfortable with your girlfriend. She seems to be respect nobody's boundaries, especially your dad's, and we don't know what to do about it. We think
of
not coming.
He's actually a stepdad, and so a year ago when she was glancing at him, he was glancing back a lot. And so what I said to him, why couldn't you pick up the cat and just hand it to her and say, here you go?
Yeah, probably okay. Because he didn't think about it.
But Denise, here's the thing.
She's the problem, not him.
We would like to agree with you that there were things that he could have done that would have been more helpful or healthier or
yes.
whatever. Made you feel better, certainly. But what I think what Dave and Jill are saying here is that this is a problem. This woman's a problem, and sometimes when things like this happen, people freeze. Your mm-hmm. husband, maybe it wasn't that he was sitting there in public enjoying this. He was frozen, didn't exactly know how to handle it properly, and you got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right, and couldn't think on the spot.
Yeah, and you know.
Almost a year ago, the same thing happened to me with his older daughter. They had friends at a party, and mm-hmm. they're 30-something, too. And the gentleman put his hat on my head and because the sun was in my eyes, and I was thinking I didn't really like it. We came home, and he said he didn't like it. I said, you know, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I will not look at kids as kids, and I'll look at them as young adults.
Well,
I said, I didn't think that was an advancement.
I like what he said, though. He said to you, I didn't like it. You said to him, he should have done something different. You accused him of something, whereas he expressed to you his feelings about it, which is, you know, it's just a little bit better approach to all this. If you had said to him, honey, once again, I was really uncomfortable. I was, you know, the way that whole thing came down, I think we ought to talk to our son, and we need to, or my son, your stepson, and we need to help him with this. Have you talked to your son at all about this?
Well, he has said over the last several 2 years, he doesn't know whether he wants to be with her or not. That's why he moved in with her. So he's trying to test it out.
That's just amazing, isn't it? That kind of reasoning. That's just the worst thing I think I've heard the entire day today. That's horrible. I don't think I want to be with her. I'm going to move in. Because there, you are more likely to be with her forever once you move in. Because it's so difficult to move out once you're in. Well, that's too bad.
But I think what Steve is saying to you, Denise, is that you need to pull together with your husband and not blame him. And put the blame where it belongs, which is this woman who doesn't have very clear boundaries, and it's very hurtful to you, and say, what are we going to do about it? And the answer is, we're going to talk to our son and just say, we're really uncomfortable with the way she is sometimes, and we don't know what to do about it. We're thinking of not coming to family gatherings if she's going to be there. We don't want to do that. Maybe you need to talk to her.
Well, and I think just to expressing concern, if he's already having doubts, asking him if he's aware that she comes across seductive and that sometimes, you know, a mom is going to notice this or another woman is going to notice this where maybe men don't.
At some level, he's got to be aware and he likes it, but he doesn't see the consequences of it.
Right.
So to summarize, Denise, probably your best course, if you really want to move your marriage forward, not backward, is to say, honey, I've been thinking about this, and I wish that, just like when you said you didn't like that, I wish I had just said I didn't like it, rather than accuse you and then get angry and all of that. And, you know, I just think, if I had it to do over, I'd say, honey, I didn't like that. How could we help my son get out of this relationship? And then you go to your son and you say, I wish I had been more forceful about this when you said you didn't know if you wanted to be with her, and tell you the worst mistake you could possibly make is to move in with her. Don't do it. You need to move out, get yourself in a safe place. This is not the person you want to be with. Maybe that could provide your son with some momentum toward getting out of the relationship. I don't know. But sounds like she's a problem, big problem.
He's got to be, the son's got to be aware of it at some level. This is a woman that has very porous boundaries.
I have said that to him, that she seems to pay attention to everybody else but him. So, honey, you
are smarter than this to continue a relationship like that. Because once you got married to her, that would just get worse.
Boy, would it ever.
Okay? That's what you say
and,
to him.
Okay, but, you know, and he's 31, you guys. I mean, he's an adult. So, you know, I think Denise, you know, you know, coming in as his mom and telling him what to do is a hard position. And so I think it's like you're saying, you know, before I see you do something that I have very strong feelings about, I'm going to take a risk and say what I think.
But also say in that, you know, you need to say something to her about how inappropriate and embarrassing it is to your parents when she's kind of loose about her boundaries. And that may make him aware of what he's got to deal with. And
Yeah.
Maybe we'll deal with
Definitely.
It.
Definitely. Okay. Glad you called. I will send you The Secrets Women Keep by Dr. Jill Hubbard. I hope that will be a blessing to you. Anybody else, you can get that and many other resources at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I will send you Is This the One for you to give to him. You could hand it to him and say, She's not. Here's a book to help you discover that. She is not the one, for sure. The marriage weekend, the last one we had, there was a husband of 21 years, and the two of them were living like roommates, taking care of business and their teenager that was at home. They were communicating superficially, a lot of hurt, and, he just knew, she knew it could be better. So she went to the weekend. They both did. It was marriage changing, she says. They learned about attachment styles and how those early experiences affect communication and perceptions. They learned a fantastic listening and communicating method. They met new friends, and they learned that many, many couples struggle. So she left with a change of heart, and she found the tools and a needed heart that was more open to listening to her husband, working on respect of him, communicating. She found the tools. So she thought, anybody would benefit from this workshop. If you're struggling in your marriage, or if you want your marriage just to move up to the next level, it's the Marriage Solution Weekend. I don't know of anything that could provide more effective help than that weekend. So come be a part of it. We would love to have you there. And it's going to take place on July the 24th, right alongside the Healing is a Choice weekend. So find out about it at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Erica from Boston, Massachusetts. She listens online. Hello, Erica. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Great.
I just have a question concerning online Christian dating.
Okay.
I'm single. I've never been married, and my church recently had a conference for singles, and I've been one to say I'm waiting on the Lord, and my pastor totally that mindset, said it was not the right mindset, in the sense of you'll be waiting till you're 70, and
let me ask you this. Now let me just ask you this. What other area of your life? I mean, who you're going to marry? That's major. What other area of your life do you just not do anything to make happen and just wait for God to make it happen?
None. Not really.
Okay, so why
no.
why that why this area, which is so important to you?
It is, because I feel like convicted.
Why?
I feel like, if I'm doing things, if I'm taking, putting my hands in it, I'm disobeying God. And
Wait a second. Why here versus, did you go to college? Mm-hmm. Did you go to college?
I did.
Okay. Well, did God, write it on a piece of paper where you should go, or did you figure out what would be the best college to go to?
I figured it out.
Okay, why would you do that on a college, but when it comes to a man, you would just not do anything?
Yeah.
Well, just explain that. Why do you think that is?
Why? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like God has I think it's individual. Like, with me, God has a purpose for my life, and I feel like if I could mess it up, or
true.
I'm disobeying, or I could open doors of lust, and that could happen with a person in person, but I sometimes feel a little bit distracted by it, but at the same time, I do want to see what other options are as well, and if there are,
I applaud your pastor for telling you that your mindset is not a biblical mindset.
Okay.
It is I really believe it's one of the most detrimental false teachings that we're just going to stay home, not meet people, not be open, not have dates, not do anything, and God is going to look at us, intervene in our lives, cause a supernatural thing to happen so that we can be married. I just think that that is presuming upon God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's no logic in it whatsoever, because you don't apply that thinking to any other area of your life.
And I started getting into guilt, a lot of guilt. And, I started getting afraid, oh my God, am I doing the wrong thing? Or, but at the same time, I've been waiting for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's the question for us then? Do you have a question for us? Is there a question we could answer?
Yes. If it's in, to do that and put my hand in it.
If it's okay.
Okay. Well, I got a passage. I got a biblical basis for an answer for you, Erica.
And Dave is a certified theologian and citizen of Ireland, both. So wait till you hear this. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and Erica has called us. And her big question is the policy of just wait for God to deliver that man into your life, don't do anything on your own, is that biblical or not? Her pastor has told her that's not a good mindset to have. Dave has a scripture that he'd like to share.
Okay, but Dave, before you go, can I share what I was telling to you? Because, Steve, when you were talking, it made me think about how we women get caught up in this fantasy. And I think this is why in this one area we get stuck. I mean, what you were describing is like, okay, God's going to look down and see, because he loves you so much, he's going to see exactly what you need. And so God's going to come along and be your knight in shining armor. And you're so afraid of messing that up, of getting kind of in God's way. So God's supposed to come and be the knight in shining armor that brings you your knight in shining armor, that brings you the guy that has no other exposure to you but sees you. You know, like Dave was saying, like Sleeping Beauty almost, mm-hmm. and sees how worthy and special you are.
And what we want to say is it's time to go nighty-night on that policy of waiting for the knight in shining armor delivered by God. And Dave's going to prove that. Here it is, Dave.
Well, when I was in college, I was struggling with God's will. And we had an evangelist come to the school. And I set an appointment, and it was one of the wisest pieces of counsel I ever got. He said, the only way you're going to find God's will is to do it. And that's John 7:17. Jesus says, if you want to know what my will is, do it, and then you will know whether it's of God or of yourself. And so when you're not doing it, you'll never find God's will. So his whole, he went on to explain how if you feel like you're called to be a missionary, you start planning for it. And if doors open, that confirms that's God's plan. If doors slam in your face, that's God saying, no, 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 you got it wrong. Go over here. And it's not like it's a huge error that now makes you unqualified in God's eyes. It's the way you find out what his will is. There's no big secret to it. You know, either it's a selfish thing that I want, or it's really what God wants. So the only way you're going to find out is you date a bunch of guys and let God show you what you like, what you don't like. And know that as you pray and as you involve your friends to tell you what they think, and you go through the seasons of life with somebody, you'll know then that, yes, this is God's plan.
Okay. Now, here's a question for you. It's a broad, faith-defining question.
Mm-hmm.
Is God more interested in you being happy or a woman of character?
Woman of character.
Okay. So if that's true, then he's going to have you do whatever it takes to build character, make tough decisions, connect with women that are healthy and healing. If he just wants you to be happy, he'll pluck some man out of the sky, put them into your life, and you'll live happily ever after.
Those are fairy tales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, and so when you say God wants character over happiness, you've answered your question. And God wants us to grow toward him in everything that we do. And yes, people make mistakes in this. And guess what they do when they make the mistake? Sometimes they grow closer to the Lord than they would have ever been if they had found Prince Charming. God wants a relationship with you, and he wants you to depend on him as you're doing the scary things of life, not keeping yourself safe in an environment of predictability and sameness.
Okay. Right. You're burying your talents in the ground.
I've written about this. It's not quite as theological as Dr. Stoop, but it's close, and it's in Is This the One? And it's coming your way. All right. Let us now go to Lee from Houston, Texas. Thanks for hanging on. Listens to KBBW. Hi there. How are you?
Okay.
What's going on? How could we help you today?
About a month ago, I found out my husband has been unfaithful.
Oh, dear.
And there's been the snippets of pornography over the last couple of years, and I've, you know, confronted him about that, and of course denials and different things, and it's always kind of turned back onto me. So then I feel guilty, or like I'm overreacting, or I sweep it under the rug and we go on. We've been married 24 years.
So when you found out about the affair, what did you do? I mean, that's not something that you could sweep under the rug.
I actually moved out of the house, and I never would have even ever considered that before.
Yeah,
because
okay.
I moved out and talked with my pastor before I spoke with him because I found video evidence. So it's beyond just cheating, you know.
Horrible.
But I've had to move back into the house because I don't really have somewhere else. I'm not in the bedroom. I'm in a separate. And I want my marriage to work. I don't want it to end.
Well, that depends a lot on what his response is going to be.
Whether it was slow.
What is his response?
It was slow at first, but he has contacted the ministry about the Every Man's Battle.
Good.
Great.
So
super.
Our goal is that in June we will both go. It can't work out for this next weekend.
Yeah, okay.
But our goal is in June that he will go to Every Man's Battle, and I'm planning to go to women in the battle.
Oh, great.
Okay. You're on a path that could lead to some healing here. All right.
But I kind of just want to know, like, boundaries now, because I don't want to feel like, I kind of feel like, well, what I told him is, I don't want to cook your meals and wash your clothes and just live life. I mean, there's things that we need to do and work on and talk about. And so what do I do not to just ignore in the meantime? Because that's another month away.
Yeah. All right. Great question. We're going to help you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and I'm really excited that our ministry trip this year is going to Ireland. We're calling it the Irish Connection, and it's New Life's 2015 spiritual adventure, and I sure hope you're going to join us.
There's a lot of cathedrals you're going to visit along the way with such an amazing history of Christianity here in Ireland. We're called the Land of Saints and Scholars. The scenery is amazing, the history, whether you're in the castles and the west coast of Ireland, and then when you come up to Dublin, the contrast between the countryside and then the capital city, which is quite a cosmopolitan European city now with some amazing architecture. You're going to be spoiled for choice with the museums, whether it's the Book of Kells in Trinity College or Chester Beatty Library. Some of the oldest manuscripts in the world are housed there.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and be part of the Irish Connection. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. And we want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an Every Man's Battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking right now with Lee, and the husband and Lee have agreed after an affair that in June, he'll go to Every Man's Battle, and she will go to Women in the Battle on June the 19th. The question is, what should take place in the meantime? So, Jill, Dave, what are you guys thinking should be her approach?
Well, Lee, what your immediate task is to begin the process of rebuilding trust. And that means that he needs to be willing and open. And it sounds like if he's willing to go to Every Man's Battle, and he is. But that means you can check his phone, you can check his computer, you can check anything, and he's comfortable with that. You talk about some of the things that were missing in the marriage that made him vulnerable to violating the vows. And there's just work to be done before you get into the Every Man's Battle and Women in the Battle.
Right. So. And I think also looking for kind of support resources in your area. You can contact us and we can recommend a New Life counselor that works with these issues that you guys could at least meet with and have on board beforehand. You could get involved in Celebrate Recovery or other 12-step programs to offer support. Lots of churches are now having support groups around these issues.
Mm-hmm.
So
let me,
So don't twiddle your thumbs between now and the middle of June.
Okay. Now, Lee, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Let me tell you what I think a lot of women would say to you who have approached a husband about attending Every Man's Battle, and he said no way or whatever. I think they would say to you, don't do anything that would give him an excuse to say, okay, forget it. I'm not going. I'll never be able to do enough for you. It's worthless. Mm-hmm. So I would try to avoid great moments of conflict and confrontation at all costs, because there's nothing you're going to resolve that will be as powerful and life-changing.
True.
If you go to that workshop and he goes to his in June with a willing heart. So what I would be doing is trying to preserve that decision that he made. And that says to you, it says to me, that he really does want to win your heart back. This is a man who you could invest in again, because mm-hmm. I think he wants to do the right thing. So why bring up certain things? Why push something when you're going to go to the workshop and he's going to have other men talking to him and they're going to be talking about how they fell into the same thing? So what you want to do is say, hey, what can we do to kind of help ourselves here in the meantime? It'd be that kind of attitude versus, well, look, if you think I'm going to sit around here and cook and all this for you and act like nothing happened for 30 days, well, you're wrong. See, I think you got to go say that to somebody else and just, you know, try to get the support you need and encourage him to stay on the same track and let the counselors do their job once he's there. Okay?
Okay. Can I ask another question?
Yeah,
sure.
You may.
Okay. I'm not in the bedroom and mm-hmm. I'm concerned. I mean, I'm not ready to be intimate, but I'm mm-hmm. concerned that that's going to, you know, keep that chasm a lot wide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do I do as far as intimacy?
Talk to him about it.
You talk to him and you say, I'm not comfortable yet. Let's wait and see what happens. That's a natural response to not be comfortable with being intimate mm-hmm. with somebody when they've been unfaithful. And he should understand that. And you don't want to make it a conflict to say, I'm not ready for that yet. There's still too much hurt and too much pain.
But I would ask him then, and if you understand that hurt and pain and discomfort and all of that, what are you going to do in the meantime so that that urge, desire doesn't overwhelm you? So you're talking about it. See, because the fear is he's going to run out and do something unhealthy because you're uncomfortable with being intimate.
See, so he's probably relieved now. The fact that he's willing, he may be relieved that somebody is actually telling him to stop, right? And there's a plan to get back in good graces with you, because the path he was on, he couldn't stop himself. Maybe it's you guys just, you know, in an effort to increase kind of emotional connection, you spend some time together. You know, while I'm not ready to, you know, be in the bedroom with you, could we go out and do some things and have some lighthearted times also mixed in?
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think that's brilliant because, you know, it takes the pressure off and mm-hmm. and you might in those moments really find out what is in his heart in a really strong and supportive
way. Right, when
way.
It's but, not pressured. Yeah.
But again, you know, I mean, you've asked him to run a marathon for you, and he said, I'll run that marathon. So, you know, don't do anything to mess up his tennis shoes or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, the point is, get him in the marathon.
Shoes, to where right. he can't find his tennis shoes.
Okay. All right, let's go to Beth from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on WORD. Hello, Beth. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Been in a marriage 31 years.
Okay.
My husband came home sick last summer. He found out he was sick. And he ended up, while being sick, he had like brain bleeds in his head.
Hmm.
And he come back and he stood on the floor and he says to me, I don't care, I don't love you anymore. And I found some things in the house here some lady had given him, and I questioned him about it.
Mm-hmm.
And here he had been trying to start a relationship on the side of our marriage.
Wow.
And this is while he was being sick. So I kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt after he went to the doctor and got his head checked and he had to work on the brain bleeds, thinking this was just something he was reacting to from his condition. well, still going on. This is the next summer now, spring rather. And so the disinterest is not there. It's not there in the marriage. We're not connecting. Mm-hmm. I want to know, how can I try to save my marriage? I tried to go to counsel. Asked him to go to counseling. He will not go. Asked him, let's go to our spiritual leaders. You know, we were spiritual leaders at a ministry we did. We did things together. And all his questions is he goes out and does what he wants to do. You know, I mm-hmm. got sick 4 or 5 years ago with muscle conditions and can barely walk, so that put a lot of pressure on him to do a lot of things.
Mm.
And so now that he's healed up from these brain bleeds, he's still sneaking around, hiding. There's no trust, you know.
Okay.
I don't trust
him. The question for us was, you know, what should you do? And I think you do the one thing that you can do, and that's you go to work on your side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm doing that, I'm doing that, but there's still no connection.
Right, but what are you doing? What are you doing on your side of the street?
It's work on me, to work on my sicknesses, to work on things that are going on
Good.
With me.
Great.
And I still have to come home and deal with him.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating. We get to the point where we get into loud arguments.
Well, yeah. are you feeling like you have to have proof that he's unfaithful?
No, I've seen things he's done that was unfaithful.
Okay, so that's a given.
He brought them clothes home. The woman was working down on his job, you know, with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said she left. But, I mean, I still distrust that, you know. I still have some distrust issues.
Yeah.
But he's not telling me anything. We don't communicate properly, and I keep telling him this. Why can't you speak to me? Why can't you talk to me? He doesn't respond.
Well, but the answer to the question is because I'm fooling around. So you know, he's not going to tell you that.
No, he's not.
I don't have any
So why ask the question?
I do, you know, we're going to get into a big argument. Okay.
So, all right. So in the counseling, in the counseling that you're getting, you ask the counselor, let's come up with 10 phrases that I could use over the next week to try to bring him out in a conversation with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one simple thing that a counselor could help you with so that it's not always about what he's doing or what he's not doing.
Right, it's not accusatory.
Right.
Well, I'm not trying to be accusatory. If you come home and you hide in your phone, you're sleeping with the phone, you don't want me to see it. I said, I can let you see my phone.
It's so sad.
I can't see yours.
Yeah. Well, okay, so that's what I'm saying. If you're always dealing on that issue, he's not going to be talking to you.
Well, it's not just that issue. I always say, come out here in the living room. Let's sit. Let's watch a movie. I'd rather run in the back room and talk on the phone to his friends.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where you end up in this role of the angry mother.
I am the angry one. I really am.
The angry mother image, and it makes it less likely for him to want to connect. And so we've got to get out of that dynamic. He's the bad little boy. You're the angry mother, if there's any hope for connection. I know. It's rough. It's common, though.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest particularly my relationship with God. I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Beth, and she's got a husband that's obviously unfaithful and unresponsive, and she chuckled when I mentioned that it's one of those situations where she ends up being the angry mother, right, and he's the rebellious little boy, and it just cuts off all potential
for intimacy. Jill has an interesting perception.
Well, you know, Beth, we never think in marriage, you know, when we say for better or worse, that we are going to actually get the worse. And I think when illness comes in, you know, I'm wondering if he started to check out more when you became ill. And then when he got ill, you know, it's kind of like, okay, I'm just going to go for the gusto and grab whatever I can. But the idea, you know, when they're caught up in an affair, when a man's caught up in an affair, it creates an aliveness that they're drawn to that makes them feel good about themselves. If they're, you know, I don't know how, you said you have a hard time getting around and walking. I don't know how dependent you are on him for your care. Is he your caretaker?
Sometimes, yeah.
Right.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there is something in terms of, you know, too much reality of life and you know, in having to be your caretaker, unfortunately, I mean, you need that, and that's part of for better or worse, but it takes some of the magic out of it. And so
I did reach out and get other people's help. I have other support.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So that it could take the pressure off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure you're doing a lot of things. Yeah, I'm sure you're doing a lot of things right.
Yes.
But the issue is to resign from the angry mother role, and that's why I was suggesting that you talk with the counselor about what are things that might bring him out in a conversation, and the conversation needs to be not you ordering him to come and watch a movie with you or just anything other than a few phrases based on your experience and what you can communicate with her that might create a moment of communication that might lead to connection.
And Dave, say what you were.
Here's what I would say to him. I would say, you know, I understand you've got a girlfriend, and there's nothing much I can do about that. But I am going to focus on growing myself and becoming the woman God wants me to be. And you do what you want. I'm taking care of me from now on. And then stop being the angry mother and stop trying to bring him back. Let the next move be his. Because the more you try, the more everything's going to stay the same.
The more he resists, digs in his heels, tries to justify his decisions and all of that. And quite frankly, you know, this is a man that has chosen to do everything on his own against the will of God. And so it takes some dramatic stuff that is uncomfortable to bring a guy like that back. All right, I just... go ahead, Jill.
Well, just in naming that, you're naming the elephant in the room, and that takes some of the power out of it.
Yeah.
That is true.
So all right. That is doing something.
The last phone call is to Kim in Atlanta. Kim, I don't have a lot of time, but I want to get to your call. I just feel obligated for some reason. You listen on WNIV. How can we help you?
Hi. I'll be very, very brief. But I just wanted to know, I've been married as my husband for like 5.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my biggest complaint, we've really had a lot of ups and downs, but more downs than ups, things like. And my biggest complaint is that he is not a provider. It seems like he's more of a taker than anything. And then when I address him about it, he has this wonderful way of just turning it on me like it's my fault, and I'm causing him to have to reach out to others and have friends and have another life, and it's my fault.
That has to be so disappointing. How disappointing to marry a man who doesn't want to contribute.
Exactly. We've got three small kids. Hmm. And right now, everything, when I tell you everything is in my name, everything is in my name. So with that, he's not obligated.
Yeah.
How did that happen,
right,
Kim?
How did it happen? Well, yeah. I have to go back to the game, I guess. It's just everything's in my name. I guess I'm like the initiator when it's time to move to an apartment. My credit's better. So everything has to go in my name.
So you're the hyper-responsible one.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so Kim, it is interesting that if he was married to a woman who had no ability to do anything, he might have a totally different role. It's weird how that happens. So what you have to say to yourself is that nothing I've done has worked so far, right?
Right.
Okay. That's a great place of surrender, to surrender all your home remedies and the things that you've tried. And now you have to take the opposite approach. And I don't know what the day-to-day things that you need to say to him and do would be. I think you really do need a very, very strong counselor that you can trust to help you kind of manage this on a day-to-day basis. But I know this, if he is irresponsible, the more he hears you reinforce that image, the more he's going to sink back into it.
What do you mean, reinforce?
Well, if you tell him he's a loser, he's not doing things, you're complaining, he's not doing his part, rather than that call him out as a man, he sinks back into it.
It doesn't encourage him to do anything.
Yeah, it smothers him rather than calls him out.
And it just makes the discrepancy more glaring, right, where he falls short.
Right.
So, Kim, I would also, you know, have you kind of reflect and look at where have you overfunctioned? And now, you know, maybe you've needed to because you've been uncomfortable with his lack of responsibility. But where are the areas that you have really overfunctioned and let him off the hook? And are there areas that you could step back from and let them fall in his lap? Areas that
wouldn't hurt you.
He usually gets me. He'll say, you need to be submissive. I'm the lead. And I try to be a good wife. And I try to follow his plan. But every time
he has a plan,
I pay for it.
All right. Anytime
a
man says,
okay.
Yes.
Anytime a man says you need to be submissive, they're using scripture out of context because that is in the context of a scripture right up above that says, be submissive to each other, or submit yourselves one to another. And if he's dying for you, which he isn't, then you need to be submitting to him. That's the way it works. It's not a one-way street.
But
I wish we had more time.
That's a man that doesn't feel very powerful.
No. Right. Wish we had more time. We don't. I'll send you the 7-Minute Marriage Solution and the Bible that goes with it. I hope that will bless you on some things to stop and some things to start. We need your help. We need your support. I think you know that. Please, if you possibly can, support this ministry. Join Club New Life. It's where the foundation of our support comes from. Club New Life really is a one-year commitment to just give every month. $30 a month is all that's required to join Club New Life. And that $30, a dollar a day, I mean, it really changes everything for us. If you've listened, if you've benefited, please do. And those of you who have the ability, one of the greatest things you could do is put somebody through one of our workshops. Get a scholarship for somebody if you're able to afford it. It really does transform people's lives. The scholarship workshops that are coming up, well, we've got in June the 19th, Women in the Battle. We've got Every Man's Battle in June, and July the 24th, it's Healing is a Choice for the Guilt, the Shame, Anger, Rage, Fear, Trauma, those issues, and then the Marriage Solution Weekend right alongside that. But if you could do that, boy, that would be great. Or a one-time gift would be such a blessing to us. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. There's also tv.newlife.com. We're online all the time there. You get a couple of weeks free to see if you like it. Thank you, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Wisdom to the nth degree right there. Thank you for being here. Thanks to all of you. See you next time. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.